Tom.
Hi, how you doing? You all right?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Not bad. Where are you calling in from?
Kensal Green, so West London.
Cool.
Great, how are you? You okay?
Yeah, good. You just get on with it, don't you?
Yeah. Have you been into an office building, which gradually starting to speak to people now who are taking steps back?
I haven't particularly. I mean, certain people in the friends, family, wider business, etc. are sort of, you know, getting slowly back to normal. But I guess we're, you know, if you can stay virtual, it still sort of seems the best way, doesn't it?
Yeah. So do you know what we batter you with all these questions? We've got a couple of new ones to just sort of check into what you've been up to in this period of isolation, how you've managed. In fact, I guess technically you're a client, aren't you?
Technically, most of the time, yeah.
Are you? What are you when you're not a client?
I've directed a few bits and pieces, so...
You direct as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Have we spoken to a client before, Parv? I don't think we have. I think we're 60 in.
No, I don't think we have. Tommy, so you direct out of Riff Raff, am I right?
Yeah.
Is that freelancing out of there, or are you actually on their books then?
No, it's freelancing out of there. I've known Matt for years, so it's sort of just they help out doing what they do brilliantly when I'm making mediocre pieces of directorial work.
So do you ever have the joy of creating a script and then awarding it to yourself?
Yes, I do.
You do? What a joy.
Well, what I would say, though, is it is a bit of a double-edged sword, though, because you then have to measure and critique your own work in analysis. That is something that usually, at least sort of agency side, they only get a certain level of. It's actually fairly painful doing it end-to-end. It's quite a stressful process, to be honest.
Do you write yourself a treatment for you to look at? In the office,
yeah,
and assess.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I've done it a few different ways. It's tricky because you know the brand really well and you obviously just, you know, want to deliver it in the best way possible. And it's certainly not saying that an in-house model is better than any other model. It just sometimes works better. But you do have to get involved in that full end-to-end. So you're sort of doing your day job and you're trying to direct and you're trying to critique yourself and you're still trying to be creative. So it's just, right. It's a very weird mix of jobs, really.
Tom, shall we just tell everyone where you're working at the moment?
Yes. So at the moment, I'm the marketing director at Beavertown Brewery. So you may well know Gamma Ray or Neck Oil. It would seem a lot of people have been drinking it at home during lockdown, which is great. So I joined there in September last year.
From GiftGaff?
Yeah, so from GiftGaff, yeah. So I was one of the founders and the brand director at GiftGaff. So I worked there for 10 years and had a great time. Yeah, yeah.
So did you used to work with Gavin?
Yes, I know Gavin very well, yeah.
Yeah, I used to work with Gavin. He was at my agency.
Oh, right.
Can we kick off then? So we'll go for, are you still working and are you still keeping busy at work?
Yeah.
What have you found better about working this way, if anything?
I think when you get used to it, you can start to manage your day to be much more effective and much more productive. And I think sort of two sides to this, isn't there? There's sort of a side where people say that, oh, well, I miss the sort of corridor conversations and a bit where you can pop up to someone and say, have you got a minute? And then you spend having an hour conversation, you know, and it feels quite forced. You have to keep jumping onto Zoom and all the rest of it. And in part, I think that is true. But equally, I do think it's quite helpful that particularly when you want to do something creative or you want to do something focused, you can quite successfully lock yourself away from other people popping over for just a minute, which we know is never just a minute.
Yeah, that's very good. What would you recommend from your direction side? Can you recommend a film that someone may want to watch that they may have missed?
I've sort of ended up watching all the films that everyone else is watching at the moment, really, which is like Parasite. I watched The Gentleman the other day, the new Guy Ritchie one, which actually I thought was pretty good.
Right.
Devs, I thought on BBC, is definitely worth a watch. I think it's particularly interesting. I think the whole, you know, the production on it is huge, actually. But to be honest, I've kind of just watched old football. I've watched sort of Euro 96 again. The quality, not only of the football, but actually the quality of the footage is so poor.
You know what? I agree.
Yeah, the pace of the footage is just much slower. It just seems a much more...
It's funny you should say that, Tom. I watched the England-Scotland game when Gazza scores that goal.
Yeah.
And they do the dentist chair. That is the most appalling game of football I think I've ever watched. Remembering it back, I thought it was such a great game when I watched it live. And when you watch it again, the first touch, everything about that, it felt like I was watching a champion, like a League One game. That's probably the quality of the Premier League now compared to what it was then.
And who do you support? You're not a Tottenham fan, are you?
I am, yeah. I thought you'd like that.
Jesus.
Bloody hell. Right, we're going to have to step this vetting system up a little bit better. Okay, well, enough about football. We can move on. When was the last time you used cash, Tom?
Now that is a good question. Definitely prior to lockdown, and before that, I can't even remember. I think when everyone thought it was the end of the world and everything would close forever and we'd go back to sort of trading beans, I think I went to the cash point and took out like 50 quid, like your gran used to tell you to do or something in case people came knocking. So I think I did that. And I think it might still be in my wallet, but definitely March. It could have even been February, I think.
So you haven't spent that £50? It's still sitting there?
I think so. Although having said that, actually, I think my wife might have spent it. But I definitely haven't spent it. But it's weird, though, isn't it? Because you just, like, because everyone now buys everything on Apple Pay and PayPal and all the rest of it, you don't even get your card out, do you? It's just a couple of clicks and another thing from Amazon arrives that you don't really need.
Yeah, it's the death knell for cash, isn't it, when we come out of this? So what's your question, Barb? If you could take a CD or an LP plus a DVD, what would they be? Two. So one film and one piece of music.
I'd take Talk Spirit of Eden as my album. I think because there's quite a lot of hope in it. There's a tiny bit of sadness in it. And I think it massively stands the test of time. I would say, though, that I've got a couple of classic Noisy Neighbours. And when the lockdown really took place, they started playing Morrissey at an astronomically loud volume. You know, I don't mind Morrissey, but you don't particularly want to hear it when everyone's slightly sombre anyway. So Morrissey, I definitely wouldn't say. And then from a movie perspective, I guess when lockdown started, I went into that sort of like, it's sort of like self-punishment in a way, isn't it? And you end up watching like 28 Days Later and Apocalypse Now. I would probably take, from a DVD perspective, I'd take Casino, actually. And the reason I'd take Casino is solid film, 3 hours long, masterpiece, one of my favourite films ever. You can't get bored of watching it. But if you had a snooze in the middle and came back to it, it would, you know, you'd still be able to follow.
When we're asking you which DVD or Blu-ray you'd have in a pandemic, it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be your favourite film. And I think you just did that quite well because you picked a film that was 3 hours long. So probably a good answer.
Costume, script, cinematography, it's covering a lot of bases.
Yeah.
So we'll add that to our previous choice, which was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Simon Jones. Of all the films in the world. He came up with a very similar strong case of why Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, which was quirky. So we've got two in our vault now. So in Kensal Rise, have you seen many animals fighting or any quirky animal or environmentalist things going on?
We moved here in November and it's the first time we've had a garden in probably nearly 10 years. There's a fence at the back that seems to be a bit of a like highway for cats. So you continuously see different cats and they absolutely beat the hell out of each other all day. There's a chorus of sort of cats fighting quite frequently to the point where one day I actually went out because it sort of got so, it sounded so violent that I thought I should try and do my best.
You try and break it up?
Yeah, I sort of went to sort of go, calm down. They just looked at me and pissed off really because that's what cats do.
Tom, are you drinking more or less Beaver Town at the moment?
You can obviously never drink enough Beaver Town. I don't believe that is actually an official statement. I was drinking more at the start, but I've tried to tailor it off and pull back a little bit because I think the thing is you ordered it in bulk, didn't you? And everyone sort of just panic bought everything. So you sort of ended up buying 48 gamma ray beers and some wine and some toilet paper and 4 bottles of soap. And obviously, that sounds a wonderful night. But I've tried to pull back from it a bit. And get some more normality going, I think.
So you've got it under control now?
I'd love to think that I've got it under control. I think we'll see in the long run if that's true.
I tell you what, Tom, I'm trying to help Dave out here. We've been doing a few of these and we're sort of 60-odd down now. And I'm trying to find Dave a group of friends to make sourdough with. Are you that guy?
I've tried a few things. I have made bread 3 times. The first time, I put so much salt in that. Honestly, it was awful because I used salted butter and then more salt. And, it was a right kerfuffle. So I tried it again, slightly better. And then I did it for a third time, but I didn't have the right flour. So if you need a baker friend, I don't think I'm going to be that friend.
It doesn't sound like you've tried sourdough.
I haven't tried that.
There's no butter in sourdough. But you're the first person to come on and use the word kerfuffle, so it swings and roundabouts.
Thank you. It's an underused word.
It's a very good word. So what will you do different once you go back to work, do you think? Will you have a different stroke? Will you try and work at home a few days a week? Will you do anything different?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been quite an advocate for people working from home or at least working remotely anyway. I've never understood the concept why we need to have an entire nation or world that goes to one place at one time. I think it's absolutely and completely archaic. So I think the ability, and I think what this has done is it's proven to a lot of businesses that it's possible to completely function remotely. So I think that's a good thing. I think, I mean, I've got a 7, nearly 8 month year old. So from that perspective, it's been quite nice to spend time sort of seeing him in a way that I wouldn't normally if you're, you know, in an office somewhere, you know, an hour away. So I think appreciating that, and also like getting outside. There were some days, weren't there, where you just end up locked in and you never go out, and actually, you know, appreciate that a little bit more. And also something which I've been particularly bad with over the last sort of, you know, decade, if not more, is actually putting effort into friendship. Because right. It's like when you wander around Soho and you just bump into people and go to the pub, it's easy, isn't it? Your mate that, you know, lives in Bristol that you only talk to once a year, actually talking to them more frequently and putting a bit more effort in, actually, I think is probably more rewarding than I possibly, you know, slightly arrogantly thought.
Yeah, good point. Well, that's good. I was going to ask you actually whether you've learned anything about yourself, but you might have covered that with that answer.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was quite funny that everyone seemed to think that we would go into lockdown, work would stop, and everyone would start learning French. You know, learn a language.
You've not picked up any languages then over this period.
You know, and it was like learn a language, read a book, you know, take up art, do pottery. Like it was like when what. Like, when is all that going to happen? And so, no, unfortunately, my French is still appalling and I haven't got close to pottering, but I might, you know, time will tell.
I think we're right down to, have you seen a piece of marketing that you've liked?
Okay, that's interesting. I mean, I think the brands have done a good job, not all brands, lots of brands have done a good job from a social perspective. And I think major brands pulling themselves off of TV, and it was lovely not to watch TV adverts just of supermarkets and fast food chains for, you know, a while. I think that was refreshing. I think lots of brands have done a great job of sort of embracing content. We did some live sort of Instagram stuff, lots of other brands have. I think some of the, you know, some theatres who obviously are hugely struggling and may well continue to struggle into the new year, putting up content, you know, or old performances or Download Festival obviously didn't happen last weekend, and Download/Live Nation put up a load of content of interviews with some of the bands. So I think embracing that content world and really sort of pushing it hard, because there's loads of people just sitting at home, you know, on Instagram. I think that to me has been the most interesting development. I mean, I know there were loads, particularly loads of ads in America, you know, around sort of saying we're here for you and we're closed at the moment, but we're going to open up, and sort of using quite traditional TV to deliver that message. But I think certainly, I think social and the different ways to use those channels are the most interesting marketing that I've seen during this lockdown period.
Would your brand have been committed to events or different bits and pieces that you had to sort of rip up and reinvent in this period?
You know, as a beer brand, you know, many brands, and particularly alcohol brands, you know, the summer festivals, be that beer festivals or music festivals, etc., you know, a big deal for us, and they're a large slice of what we do. So yeah, it's been a really interesting period to adjust and look at what that kind of mix looks like, knowing that essentially no music festivals are going to happen this year probably. So that was particularly interesting, and it sort of makes you flex. I mean, my personal opinion on this is never let a good crisis go to waste. I think there's always opportunities in this. You just need to find what they are and push quite hard on them.
And are you getting stuff back from that? You're feeling like that's helping you?
Yeah, I am. I mean, you know, the conundrum always with social is like, how do you actually attribute what it's doing back to your brand? And you can do your big macro measurements and your micro measurements of, you know, engagement on specific posts, etc. But I think for brands that aren't investing, particularly from a traditional media perspective, which we aren't, and even those brands that have stopped, because why would you do outdoor advertising in a pandemic when everyone's inside? It comes down to using those social channels and finding really interesting creative ways to use them. And I think lots of people, you know, brands tend to be quite conservative and they tend to sort of follow the crowd. So I think it's been interesting for those that, you know, are trying to do something different or were first, you know, we did the first virtual pub out of, you know, the brands in our sector, if you like. And that was quite important. And it may not be the best or the most attended or whatever, I don't know. But it was interesting to get out there first and try the stuff. And
I think you get a lot of points for going first, don't you?
Yeah. I think so.
Excellent. All right, that's brilliant. Thanks, Tom.
You're excellent. Thank you, mate.
Thanks for your time. That was great.
Pleasure. Glad you think so. Anything else, just, you know, give me a shout.
Great. I'll let you know when it's out.
Yeah, nice one.
Good to talk to you,
guys.
Cheers,
bye. Bye-bye.